When I was a young boy, TV was in its infancy, and a lot of the radio programs came over to TV. I didn't necessarily enjoy many of them, but there was a show I loved. It was called The Lone Ranger. The Masked Man. You know, he always would startle people. He's wearing a mask, but he's a good guy. You know, he rides a white horse, and Clayton Moore had that deep voice. You know, a preacher would kill for that voice. He was like George Whitfield, though they said could say Mesopotamia and people start crying, you know. He just had that voice. And he would quote scripture very often. If you've seen back any of the old ones that they rerun, he would quote scripture a lot to the citizens, as he called them, you know. It began the same, and it always ended the same. It ended with him, you know, having gotten rid of the bad guys, solved the problem, and then all of a sudden there are the townspeople or the family, whoever he helped, but he's not there. And they always said the same thing. Who was that masked man? And then they would say, why, we didn't even get to thank him. And then you'd see him on Silver up on the hill. Silver would rear up and he would say, hi-o, Silver, away. And he'd ride away, and you knew next week he was going to come and he was going to save somebody else's life, get them out of trouble. And they would say the same thing at the end. We never got to thank him. But you see, the Lone Ranger didn't care. He didn't want the thanks. He believed in the goodness of the average guy, and I guess he knew they were thankful, or maybe he just didn't care because, you know, he's in it for his ranger buddies were killed early on, if you know how the Lone Ranger became the Lone Ranger, and maybe thanks wasn't something he was even in it for, you know. Sadly, we so often think that God's like the Lone Ranger. And he doesn't need our thanks. He doesn't really care if he gets it. He's doing those wonderful things and saving us and caring for us. And then he rides off into the sunset and we never get to thank him, but he doesn't care. Well, if we look in the scriptures, we know that's not true. The name of this series has been Our Proper Response to the Cross. And this morning we're talking about thanking. Giving thanks. Thankfulness as an action word. Something we do. Thanking God. And I am calling this our proper response. Now all of the ones we looked at were proper. But when we think about thanksgiving, I think we're going to see that it is the one response to what God has done for us in the cross that is so obvious and so proper and so right that we will find ourselves perhaps ashamed at how little we give thanks to God. We'll be encouraged to give thanks more, to be marked as a thankful people. In a culture where people tend to be very thankful when the economy's good and things are going well, they can be very bitter. They can be very down when times are like they are now. Our proper response to the cross, there is none more proper than thanking God. So, 4 points this morning. We Christians are to be a thanking people. How could we Christians not be a thanking people? Thanking God is to be a corporate exercise, and thanking God must occur personally if it's going to be real corporately for any one of us. We Christians are to be a thanking people. Like all of the other responses to the cross that we have looked at so far, like giving and praying and reading and meditating upon God's word and serving God and evangelizing and all the things that we've looked at, thanking God and thanking others is expected of the Christian. It's the proper, the natural response of somebody who has been born again of the Spirit of God and delivered from the consequences of their sin. And when we look at the Scriptures, we see it as a common occurrence. We see our Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God become a man. And we see him when he is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he prays to the Father, and it says they rolled away the stone, and Jesus looked up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Praying in his human nature as an example to us. God has promised to hear our prayers. We dare not take that for granted. We dare not presume, but we need, like our Lord Jesus Christ, to say, "Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayers." For he said, "You always hear my prayers." He said, "I said it for those who are listening." Reminding us that we are to be thankful to God, not just for the fact that he gives us things, but that he hears our prayers, that his ear is open to our cry. For his ear is not open to the cry of the unbeliever, but it's open to us. We see it also in the apostles, and none more than we see it in the apostle Paul. As you go through his letters, he tells us to be a thankful people. In Philippians 4:6, he says, "Don't be anxious about anything." I need to write that on the doorpost of my house. My wife has a sly smile on her face as I say that, because she knows that, you know, anxiety and worry are besetting sins of mine. "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your present your requests to God." He says in Colossians 2:7, "Being rooted and built up in him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflow with thankfulness." In Colossians 3, he says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Three times in those several verses he talks about thanksgiving and gratitude. And he ends his letter to the Colossians by saying, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and being thankful." Over and over in the Scriptures, we are admonished and encouraged and commanded to be a thankful people. And the Apostle Paul, like a good teacher, not only tells the Christian churches to be thankful, but he practices it. You look at Paul's letters, every letter, but his letter to the Galatians. And when he wrote to the Galatians, you know, he was so upset with them for the fact that they were turning from the cross and turning to Old Testament ritual and righteousness, that he greets them, and one of the first things he says is, I can't understand how you so quickly have turned away from the gospel. And he's not going to thank them for that. But even the Corinthians, when he writes to each one of them, he begins by saying, "I thank God for you. When you come into my remembrance, I give thanks for you. I thank God for this about you, and I thank God for that about you." And so we see the Apostle Paul setting that example for us. You see, thanksgiving is a verb, isn't it? Thanking, remember putting that ing on the end of a noun. makes it a verb. It's something we do. The person said, well, I'm thankful, but, I'm a guy, and, I don't like to let my emotions hang out, and, I don't want to express it, but, the people around me, they know I'm thankful. Keeping something inside and not letting it out isn't really useful, is it? And so we Christians are to be a thanking people. Which brings us to the second point. How could we Christians not be a thanking people? We are about to have our Thanksgiving holiday. Our whole nation is talking about Thanksgiving, and you're seeing it on television and in the news and everything else. Get your Thanksgiving turkey. Thanksgiving's coming. You're going to be thankful. With the secularization of our nation, with the true gospel really being lost more and more in our country, why are people going to be thankful? And there are a lot of reasons. People have good motives. But there's a lot of magazines out there. Rodale Press puts out these magazines, Men's Health, Women's Health, How to Have a Happy Life, How to Live. And, they always have an edition on around Thanksgiving that tells you why to be thankful. You see, you should be thankful because when you're thankful, it releases endorphins into your bloodstream. And those endorphins, in a chemical way, go around in your body and they make you feel better. They make you feel good. Now, if you're thankful, it's causing you to think positively and not negatively, and that releases stress. Be thankful because it's good for you. Can you imagine that? Be thankful because it's good for you. I mean, that is one of the teachings out there in our culture about being thankful. But why are we to be thankful? Remember the name of the series of these messages. Our proper response to the cross, right? Our proper response to the cross. Thanking. Now, we need to define that word, thanking. What does it mean? And in the Bible, there's the Old Testament, don't forget, was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. And there are words that are used to define thanking. And it's interesting that the Hebrew word, in its root, means to throw or to throw out. And then it comes to mean praising and thanking. And language scholars believe that word to throw out evolved into the word thanking because they are a very gregarious, emotional people who speak with their hands as well as their mouths. And when they were thanking and praising people, they were going like this, thank you, thank you. Now the Greek word takes two words, eu, which means good, and char, which means joy, and it puts them together to mean good joy or proper joy. In other words, when someone has done something for you, the kind of joy that is proper is a joy that expresses thankfulness. Now in English, we have the word thank, and that word has its root in the word that means think. Remember the last sermon we had, we talked about Christians were to be thinking. And if we're going to be thanking, we need to be thinking. Because to thank is to show or express proper gratitude or appreciation for something that someone has done for us. And you have to think about that. When somebody does something for you and you expect it, you think you deserve it, you're not thankful. But when somebody does something for you and you know you don't deserve it, in fact, you know that you might well deserve the other, it causes you to have gratitude and appreciation. And so we as Christians, how can we not be thanking people if we're thinking people concerning the Word of God? When you think about who you are and who God is and what He has done at the cross, what do you find yourself doing? Thanking God. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're Presbyterians, though. We're not supposed to get our arms moving too much, right? But no matter who you are as a human being, you know that rising up in you where you just want to thank that person. You're overwhelmed by what they've done for you. And we need to focus upon that. And God wants us to do that. The Lord's Supper is one of the rituals that God has given to us. Two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper, we do it, and it's coming up at the beginning of the month again. And we call it the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. But there's another word that is used in the church for the Lord's Supper that we don't use too much in Presbyterian circles, but it's used a lot in Episcopalian circles, churches that have a much more liturgical form of worship, perhaps. But have you ever heard of the Eucharist? I grew up Catholic, and that's what they called a communion, the Eucharist. You know why it's called the Eucharist? That EU for good and that CHAR for joy, Eucharizo, it means to give thanks. And it's used in 1 Corinthians 10:16, where it says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" Paul says when you take the cup and when you take the bread, you realize that you are in Christ. You participate in Him in His death and in His resurrection and in His glorious coming again and in His eternal reign. And so when you take that cup and you take that bread, you're thankful because of what it means to you eternally. We who do not deserve eternal life but have been given. And I think that's one of the reasons why thanklessness is such a serious sin in God's sight. I always marvel at Romans 1. When it gives us that litany of sins that the unbelieving world is involved in because they have they're holding down the knowledge of God, they're pushing it out of their lives, and they're going and they're making gods of their own, idols, and they're serving those, and then it lists their sins, and those sins go from sins of behavior, sexual, and greed, and everything else. And it says this: "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." In our Sunday school class, we're talking about evangelism. Today we talked about how to witness to an atheist, and we talked about this passage. There is no such thing as an atheist. Everyone knows God exists. They push it down. They scream loudly. They whistle as they walk down the dark alley. God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist. But they know He does, because they're made in His image. And then he says this: "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God," and then he says this, "or gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." He puts in there all of their sins, idolatry and wickedness and godlessness, and he says part of it is their thanklessness. They don't believe there's a God, or they say they don't. So everything they have, they've gotten by their own initiative. Why thank God? I always think of that prayer in in the movie, I think it was Shenandoah, Jimmy Stewart, his wife had died. She's buried out in the yard. He goes out to talk to her once in a while. He's got these kids. He has to raise them. And so he sits down to pray, and he's going to eat. And his wife made him promise that he would pray and take the kids to church. And so he prays, and he says, Father, God, we sit down to eat before you. We have this food on the table. We planted it. We hoed it. We weeded it. We harvested it. We cleaned it, we cooked it, we put it on the table, but we thank you anyway. And that's how he prayed in front of his kids. And that's how the unbeliever thinks. I've done it all, why do I have to thank God? But gee, maybe I better, you know, culture expects it. My mom made me promise to pray before meals. And but that's not proper for us as Christians, is it? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 talks about the many things that are not proper for Christians. Listen to what he says. He begins, first of all, by saying, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So live a life of love, because he's done that. So among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. There should not be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse jesting, which are out of place. He says these are all improper for God's people. But what's proper? He says, but rather thanksgiving. That is proper for God's people. That is something that you expect from people who have a Savior who offered himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And that's why you're not doing all these terrible things. And that's why you're thankful people. Paul expects them to be thankful. And so we, as we think about this, we say to ourselves, how can we as Christians who understand the cross not be thankful? I think ultimately we can't unless we've denied the faith or we've fallen deep into sin. And there are times when our hearts grow cold. Is that not so? And that's why I wanted to emphasize this next point. Thanking God is to be a corporate exercise. Here we are gathered together as God's people on the Lord's Day, as he commands us. So we gather on Wednesday. You may gather, some of you, you go to small groups, Bible studies, different times. You get together with believers at work. In different ways, you gather together. And when you gather together, one of the things that should be going on is the expression of thanks, which is one of the reasons why this morning, as we had our time of mutual ministry, I said, let's just give thanksgiving. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, the passage that Bob read for us. Paul's talking about this gift of tongues, and there's a lot of debate about what it is. But it seems like, as it works out, even Paul speaks of having this gift, that is the ability to speak in foreign languages. Perhaps languages they didn't even know, and then they could be interpreted. They were given this ability to, as God is judging the Jews, and he only spoke to them in Hebrew, now he's speaking in all the languages of the world, and on the day of Pentecost, they had this ability to speak in all these languages, and it seems like perhaps that continued on in the church, and then it became an issue of showing off and pride, and in the Corinthian church, they were misusing this gift, and people would use it to be speaking in other tongues, and nobody'd know what was being said because there wasn't somebody interpreting. And that's going on in the church. And Paul says that's a very wrong thing. And one of the reasons it's wrong is because what is supposed to be occurring in the fellowship. And this is what he says. He says, if you are praising God with your spirit, and by that he means with this spiritual gift of tongues. If you're praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he doesn't know what you're saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. He isn't understanding. And because he doesn't understand, he's not edified. Our giving of thanks in the midst of our congregation encourages and edifies one another. Did you ever think about that? Thanksgiving is to be a regular part of our worship gatherings. Why? Well, first of all, it's because we're part of the Church of Jesus Christ, the universal church which goes back to Adam and extends to the last believer who's going to be alive before the Lord returns. And many, and the large number of those are in heaven right now. And we read in Revelation 4 that day and night, these creatures never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of mighty, who is and was and is to come." And it said, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him, they give honor and they give thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. John got a vision of heaven. He saw all these creatures and he saw all the saints and all the angels praising God. And he said, when they did that, they gave glory to God, they gave honor to God, and they gave thanks to God. And when we gather together, we glorify, we honor, we praise, and we give thanks to God. And our thanks is united with those. In a very real sense, we're taken up into heaven and worshiping God with all of the saints. And part of that is thanksgiving in a corporate way. And that's the sort of high and lifted up reason. But there's another reason, and that's the one that the Apostle Paul speaks of here. God uses your thanksgiving to encourage others in the body. That's why Paul says you're there giving thanks in a foreign tongue. Nobody understands it. God doesn't give the interpretation of it, and you're showing off. It doesn't help anybody. Your thanksgiving in God's assembly is supposed to do something. It's supposed to edify your brothers and your sisters. He uses it to encourage others. You may not always feel thankful. I don't always feel thankful. And there are times when I come together and then we share and people begin to share things. And you see what happens is you begin to feel like God has abandoned the world and his church. And people give thanks for something that God has done, a prayer that he's answered. And you're reminded that God is alive. And God does answer prayer, and he is answering prayer, and he does care about us. And therefore, if he's answering my brother or sister's prayer over here and they're giving thanks, that means he's not dead. That means he is alive. And that means that there's a good reason why he isn't giving me what I think I need right now. We're to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, our brothers and our sisters. And so thanksgiving needs to go beyond us to be a corporate exercise. And we need to learn to do that. Exercise the grace of giving thanks when God has done good things. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with God's people. It's an encouragement to us. But I think this last point is very vital in understanding it. That is that thanking God must occur personally before it can be real corporately. You know, it's not natural for fallen man to give thanks. I think of Adam and Eve in the garden. You don't see them thanking God, and they're very early convinced that God isn't really good to them. And rather than thanking God, they're accusing God and agreeing with the devil that God really doesn't care about them. And if you look for the occurrence of that Hebrew word which we translate thank, it's praise. It can be translated praise or thank. And the context usually tells it. Seems like the first occurrence where it really has a undeniable meaning of thanksgiving is Leviticus 7, where it's mandated by the law as a ritual. Along with the person's fellowship offering of thanksgiving, he's to present this offering of bread made with yeast, and it lays it down, and it tells him the meat of his fellowship offering of thanksgiving has to be eaten on the day, and it gives rules for how to do it on specific days of the year. Think about David. What Bob read for us in 1 Chronicles talks about David thanking God. But we're told elsewhere in Chronicles 25 that David set apart certain men as professional thankers. And it says that he picked these men, six in all, and he put them under the supervision of their father, Jeduthun, who prophesied using the harp in thanking and praising God. So God had this ritual, liturgical system with the temple, and he had people whose work it was, their job was to thank God. They had these times of the year where they brought sacrifices, which were to represent their thanksgiving to God. But you know, the Jews could do these mandatory things and not really be thankful in their hearts. And insincerity is a terrible thing when it comes to thanksgiving. You ever have somebody thank you and you just knew they weren't sincere? Especially when you gave them something and you knew they really didn't like it. You know, gee, thanks, you know. Insincerity drives me nuts. I just got a call this week from, I get these calls of people selling Bible study materials, and this is a guy, you know, and I feel sorry for these guys because they're usually tent-making pastors or, you know, if I had to make a living calling people and selling stuff, my family'd starve. I feel so sorry for people who have to do this for a living, and so I don't want to be rude and, you know, but, you know, they don't take no for an answer. And this guy calls me and he says, "Hi, Pastor Young, I'm calling and, you know, I'm from so-and-so." They don't even let you say anything. "We got some great small group materials here that are really designed. And let me tell you about, you know, what's going on in your church. And you have a small groups." And I said, "Well, we have a Wednesday night." "Well, Pastor, I can really hear that passion in your voice for small groups." I said, "We don't even have small groups." I said, you mentioned the men's breakfast, and I could really hear the passion in your voice about the men's breakfast, you know. And then I said, "Well, who are the people?" He's listing the names, and I'm there, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, these are the books." And I said, "Oh, the emerging church." He says, "Yes, Pastor, I can really hear the passion you have in your voice for the emerging church." And I said, "Well, I have a book here right in front of me that I'm reading. It's called Two Guys Who Aren't Emergent and Should Be." It's a book of against the, you know, and he goes, "Oh," you know. And I said, "Well, thank you for your time," you know. And he hung up. After I told him I was late, I had to go visit, and then, you know, he kept me on. You know, and there's that insincerity, because all he wants to really do is sell me this stuff. You could think of examples in your own life where people are insincere. They're manipulating you. They're schmoozing you. And God feels infinitely worse about that. Insincerity, hypocrisy, is displeasing to God. But he set it up for the Jews that they do these mandatory things. However, in Leviticus chapter 7, which is in that same section that talks about these ritualistic appointed fellowship times, it says that if the person's offering is a free will offering, this is how he's supposed to do it. That Hebrew word means free will or voluntarily. And Andrew Bonar in his commentary says this. He says, "Those thank offerings that are called free will offerings, which means voluntary offerings, were probably brought just because the soul of the worshiper was, at that time, overflowing with gratitude. There was not a particular event calling for it. It was dictated simply by the fullness of the worshiper's heart." And that's what God wanted. And he provided the opportunity for them to do that. Now, you're going to come ritualistically. I'm going to make you do it. And as I make you do it, perhaps you'll grow in and understand it, and you'll thank me from the heart. But we Christians should be thanking God all the time. Doesn't Paul say, "Be joyful always, pray continual, give thanks in all circumstances"? Not just when we're gathered together like this, but we learn to be thankful, truly thankful as individuals, so that when we come together and offer our thanks, it's sincere because we're personally truly thankful. And we say, "Well, yeah, you know, I come together and I'll unite my voice with everyone else, but how can I be thankful in these circumstances? How can I live above the circumstances of my life with the economy the way it is, with the things going the way they are?" And Paul says in Colossians 1, something we must never forget, something that no matter what happens in our circumstances or the economy doesn't change, he says this: Give thanks to the Father who qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. No matter what you lose, no matter what goes on in our economy, because of the cross, our sins are forgiven. And how can we not be personally thankful for that? When we come together and we thank God for forgiving us, we may be saying it corporately, but you're thinking about your sins. And that overwhelms into thankfulness. So think outside the box of your life. Have that attitude that the Apostle Paul. I marvel in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul's writing to the Corinthians about this gift they're supposed to give. And they were going to give it, but then they aren't giving it. And he's saying you need to give it. It'll bless the people. It'll do this. And in the midst of Paul, here's Paul, right? He's dealing with this problem church called the Corinthians. He's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's been hungry. And now he's giving his blood for this church that's betraying him and accusing him of false motives. And he's trying to get them to follow through on this offering for their suffering brothers. And he says to him, you need to give this gift. And when he thinks about the gift, all of a sudden he just breaks out and says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Even when he's dealing with these rotten Corinthians, when he thinks of the word gift, he thinks God so loved the world and he gave, and he just overwhelms and praises God in the midst of that letter. And that should be our mark. Do you want your thanks in worship to be real? Think of what we deserve and what God has done for us at the cross. May we never say, why, I didn't get to thank God. He rode away. He never rides away. He's always there. And he desires our thanksgiving. And may we grow as a thanking people. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as this holiday is coming upon us, we pray that it might not be just because of a holiday that we thank you. And may we on that day when perhaps we're sitting around a table and each of us is asked to give thanks for something and we're always embarrassed and we don't want to speak and we wait long enough till they call on the person aside of us, may it overwhelm in our hearts a thankfulness for what you have done for us in Christ and the good things that you give us in his name. Lord, make us more thankful and encourage us when we are among one another to express our thanksgiving, that we might encourage each other no matter our circumstances. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're to encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So let's stand together and sing hymn number 384.
Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each our love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, ever faithful to the truth may we be found. So
a hymn that focuses us on the grace of God at the cross, something that cannot be taken away by the circumstances of the world, to make us thankful. Receive the benediction. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be in you, now and until he returns, and forevermore. Amen.